We've been listening to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount over the last few months and read some of the greatest things Jesus said. He said many things in many places, and the Sermon on the Mount is kind of a compacted version of some deep and powerful things that Jesus says to us. It's a great collection of Jesus' discernment and helpful truth. Today we come to the end of this short series, and Matthew records at the end of the Sermon on the Mount the reaction of the people. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the teachers of the law." Jesus' words were powerful. Jesus' words cut through deep into the hearts of people who are receptive and opening and listening to him. Before I read from the text this morning, I'm going to do something that I do once in a while, and that is I'm going to give you an assignment that you're not expecting and you're not ready for and you won't like. Well, some of you won't, but anyway, I'd like you to find a friend this morning, and I would like you to take 20 seconds each. And I want you to describe your house to your friend. 20 seconds each. Okay. I know you're all comfortable. Find a friend and describe your house. Okay, thank you. 20 seconds is up. All right. Everybody got a good description of somebody's house. Okay, where you live. All right. I have a couple questions for you. Number one. How many of you heard somebody describe the color of their house? Put your hands up high so I can see it. Okay, how many of you heard somebody describe the neighborhood? Okay, describe where the house is. Okay, who heard somebody describe how many rooms it had? Okay, who described who lived there or who used to live there? Okay, how about this one? How many of you got a good description of the foundation? One. Wow. All right, it sounds like all but D need to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, the words of Jesus. You know what Jesus thought was the most important part of the house? Foundation. Verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus had an incredible way of communicating with the people around him. His words were deep, but his words also were very simple. Jesus took the very common illustrations from life, and he gave them life in the ears of the hearers. He had incredible influence. When you just read simply the Gospels through, and you read of the large crowds that came to Jesus, it's an incredible number of people who came out from all, especially in the early part of his ministry, from Galilee to hear him preach. I've heard some expert opinions of how many people lived in Galilee during the times that Jesus lived. And when you listen to the stories of the New Testament and the crowds that came, at one point 5,000 people came on one day to hear what Jesus had to say. The towns in Galilee were not that big. It would have been just about everybody that lived within about 15 miles of where Jesus was on that day, and perhaps on the day that he gave the Sermon on the Mount would have come to hear what he had to say. The crowds were mesmerized by him. They were amazed at his teaching. One word says they were astonished at the words of Jesus. Why? because he had great insight. He understood who people were. He understood what our needs are, and he spoke to the needs of man. He taught, they were told, or they said, he taught the people as one who had authority. Jesus teaches with great authority. Jesus has great authority. And so the question is he the authority that we're listening to in our lives? Are we as receptive and open and listening to the authority of Jesus in our lives? I know many of you come to church every week, and perhaps you read your Bible, I hope, every day. And every day you're thinking and you're praying and you're drawn to God. And it's so good to be reminded of how important the words of Jesus are to us. As life goes on and we get busy and life gets messy and we're dealing with all kinds of issues and things, to realize that what Jesus said is very deep and very important and very true and very important that we listen to. Jesus taught as one that had authority, like not like the other teachers, the Scripture says. He was an amazing teacher. He was an amazing storyteller. He told so many stories that captivated the attention of the people because the stories came from life. They came from everyday things that were going on around him, and yet he infused them with such spiritual power. And I believe that some of the things that Jesus said, are we can read them, and those seeds go deep into our hearts, and later on they germinate. And at the right time, the Bible says the Holy Spirit illuminates who Jesus is. And at the right time, if you have put God's word in your heart and you've held on to it with respect, later on the Holy Spirit will bring that out and show you what you need to hear and help you with an area of your life. I kind of think about what I've heard about hidden computer drivers. I don't know if I have the right term for it, but those subroutines that are part of a program or somewhere inside that box of a computer, and you don't know it's in there, but something triggers, and down the road a program will initiate and start, and it will create something. It will maybe something bad, like a Trojan horse or something to destroy your computer, or it will trigger something good, a reminder of something you need to do or to fix a problem that's there, but you don't always know that it's there until it activates. And that's kind of how I feel about the Word of God is. The Word of God is like that for us when our hearts are open to Him. We've heard it, it's in there, and God will activate it. He'll turn it on, and who knows at what moment or what time you need to hear from the heart of Jesus to help you with something in your life. Jesus does want to talk to you. He had an incredible ability to help us to know truth as we go down the line. Well, in our story this morning, Jesus is talking about the building of two homes or two houses. After all, that would seem normal. Jesus was a son of a carpenter. He probably was around building. I'm sure the building of furniture, the building of boats maybe. Maybe the framing of a house. I don't know what all Joseph did, but we know that he was a carpenter and Jesus was around that. He probably saw people that built things well, and he saw things that people did not build well, perhaps houses. He understood the importance of the foundation. He understood how important it was before you strike the first nail, before you bring the first boards together, that you prepare the surface, the foundation of where that house is going to be built. Jesus cares very deeply about your foundation. Every one of us that are here today have a spiritual foundation, and God calls us to build that foundation and prepare that foundation so that we will be ready when life storms come. All that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount kind of comes down to this last illustration in the seventh chapter. The Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. This comes at the end of chapter 7. Everything Jesus has said up to this point comes down in verse 24 to the first word of the verse. It says, therefore. In other words, Jesus is saying all these things that I've told you about so far in the Sermon on the Mount, it comes down to your foundation. It comes down to whether you put into practice what you have heard. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house upon a rock. Jesus is painting a picture for us with a great illustration, and he's saying, you can be like a man who builds his house on the rock. That's what I want for you. I want you to have a rock. I want your life. I want your character. I want your total experience to be built on a rock. You see, all of us, Jesus knows, are building a house spiritually of some kind. Every one of us are building a house. There's a lot of steps to take in building the house. There's a lot of work to do. Some work is seen and known, and other parts of the building of a house is not seen and known. But building your spiritual house is very important. It begins with a foundation. It begins with choosing your core beliefs. Building your spiritual house begins with choosing whether or not Jesus will be the authority for your life or your own decisions will be. Choosing your core beliefs are so important. I'd say to you young people, however you classify yourself, if you consider yourself young, hear my words today. Your core beliefs right now are very important for who you are and what's going to happen in your life. Choosing how you're going to live. I've become an advocate over the last few years, for me at least, of having a life verse to live by. And a lot of you know I've talked about the book of Micah and the verse that says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That to me is a core value of what I want to do, I want to be, I want to live by. I want my life, I want it to be, I'm not saying it always is, but I'm trying to be, and I want my life to be marked by doing what's right, being just, doing my best to do what's right. I don't always know the right decision. I don't always know what's best, but I pray that God will help me to do what is right, what is best, what is just. The second principle there is to love mercy. I pray that God will help me to understand the mercy of God. The mercy of God is incredible. It's incredible that He takes mercy on every single one of us as a sinner, and He offers that mercy. And God calls us to have mercy in each other's lives too, to do what is right, to love mercy. And the third part of that verse that's my kind of guiding principle in my life, my core value, is to walk humbly with God. God wants me to walk every day and try to do what's right every day. We don't always know exactly what to do. We don't always know the right decision, but God can help us to have a heart that's right every day and saying, God, guide me today to do what's right. Help me to know what you want me to do today. Whatever your guiding principles are in your life, Jesus reminds us that it's so important that we build our foundation on the rock. I would encourage every one of you to choose what your founding principles are of your faith and your belief. What do you believe about the authority of God? What do you believe about God's revelation in your heart and your life? Jesus is saying how important it is that our whole lives be grounded in the rock of His truth. And Jesus is calling the church, He's calling every one of us to hold on to those core values, that's truth that is rooted in the authority of God. The third principle that I want to mention this morning about building your house spiritually is the reality that storms will come to your life. Storms will come. Jesus knew that. You know, for both people building a house on the rock and on the sand, the same storms came. There will be storms in your life. Most of you, almost all of you, have already had storms in your life that are pretty difficult. There's not too many adults here that I know, and I don't know all of you, but just about everybody that I'm looking around, I'm thinking, all of you that I know have had storms in your life. Some have been more intense than others. I can't think of an adult here I know that hasn't been through a storm in your life. Many of you have storms right now. Some of you are going through some storms right now, maybe not as intense as last week or last month. But the reality is you will have storms. Jesus says that. It's almost like a promise here. He doesn't say, if you have storms here. He says, the rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. The truth is you'll have storms in your life. So you ought to decide before the storm comes who you are and what you believe and what you're going to hold on when the storms come. The reality is storms will come. It rains, another place in the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Because you're a believer and you hold on to faith, it doesn't mean that God's going to deliver you from having a storm. The reality is the same storm that strikes the believer strikes the unbeliever. The same storms that come, sometimes they're different because people bring them on themselves, but the reality is storms will come to your life. whether you're a believer or not. God never promised that He will keep you from the storm. God promised that He'll be with you in the storm and He'll help you to prepare for the storm, but storms are coming. If you're at a place in your life where you don't have storms right now, be thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm in a time where I don't have storms and I can promise you get ready for them because they will come. Storms come sometimes because the enemy of our soul is trying to bring us down. The enemy of your soul will try to discourage you. They'll try to find a weakness in you, try to find something in you that will draw you away from the authority of Jesus and do everything he can to destroy you. Sometimes the storms come because you made bad decisions in your life. You have sin in your life and you're paying for it with consequences. Sometimes you have storms in your life because of other people's sin. Sometimes you have storms in your life because of accidents, and it's not your fault at all. Sometimes you have storms in your life because of natural disasters. There's all kinds of storms. The reality is we're going to have storms. You're going to have storms. Don't think that you're alone in the storm. Number one, Jesus knows the storm that you're in, and He cares about you in the storm, and He can help you in the storm. The truth is, the storm comes to the man who built his house on the rock, and the storm came also to the man who built his house on the sand. The storms will attack you. The rain will beat against you. But Jesus said, if you build upon the rock, your house will stand firm. That's the promise Jesus makes in this story, in this illustration. He says, if your house is built on the rock, you will stand the storm. You will survive the storm. The truth and the reality is so many things the storm can take in our lives. The storm can take all kinds of things away from us, but there's something on the inside of who you are spiritually that the storm cannot take away. Your faith in God, the reality of who God is. If you hold on to what's right, God can hold you in the storm. He will hold you up. Another thing that I think about with a storm, the rock will hold. But also that just reminds me that it's your work in the sunshine that prepares you for the storm. I think about the storms of life and I realize that when the storms start and the wind comes and the rain starts and starts beating against your life, that's really not the best time to start preparing for the storm. The time is now. The time with your faith is now. Time is to put down those roots of who you are and what you believe and what are your core values and what are your principles and what are you going to live by. Today is the day to prepare for the storm. This morning is the day to prepare for your storms. Some of you are in the storms. Some of you may have some storms in the next few weeks or months. I don't know, but I just know that storms come and go. They impact in good people. Storms impact the best people I know in the body of Christ. Storms wipe out people in the body of Christ who are half-hearted. I see that. I know that. I just want to say to you, prepare for the storm and the sunshine. Know who you are. Make those decisions about who you are in the sunshine that will prepare you for the storm that come. If you wait till the storm is already there, then you've waited too long. It may be too late to be ready. The Gospel of Luke also records this illustration of Jesus and Luke actually records another part of it, or just one more statement than we find in Matthew. And this is what Luke says. He dug down deep and laid his foundation on the rock. He dug down deep and laid his foundation on the rock. You see, the first man, the first illustration was a man who absolutely did the work so that his foundation was sure. Didn't take the easy path. He wasn't lazy. He decided. He took the time in the sunshine. He worked hard at it. He did the digging. He used the axe and the shovel and the pick or whatever it was to build his foundation. He didn't take the easy path. Jesus illustrates he dug down deep. You know how important it is for you to dig deep when you're digging your foundation. He dug down deep and laid his foundation on the rock. On the other hand, we have the second side of the illustration of Jesus. On the other hand, why did the house fall? Why, in the second part of the story, did the house fall? I want to give you three reasons that I think that it fell. Number one, it fell because it was in the wrong location. It was in the wrong location. The second man's faith was not in the right place. Perhaps the second man's faith was in his circumstances. I'm not sure. The second man had his foundation rooted in something that could be taken away by life. taken away by circumstances. And if your faith is in your circumstances and that everything's going to go well and that God's going to take care of you and never let anything bad happen to you and a storm comes, it's over. If that's where your faith is. If your faith is in your circumstances and that God's going to always give you good things, we know, you know, I know, that kind of faith is very shallow. It's believing God who He is in the storms, in the mountains, and in the valleys that proves what genuine faith is. The second man, his faith was in the wrong location. The second man also, number two in Jesus' story, he chose the easy dig. He chose the project that was easy. It didn't take long to get his foundation ready. He was lazy. Really didn't work very hard to make sure the foundation was ready. You know, serving God is sometimes hard work. Being a person of faith means enduring things that are difficult sometimes and keeping your eyes on Jesus, keeping your eyes on the Word of God and the holiness of God and the authority of God, even when it's not easy. Sometimes it takes a lot longer to have a faith that is deep. And it's really easy to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and then not give a whole lot more to that. That's the kind of man that built his house on the sand. Oh, yeah, I got my house built, and it's looking good. Looks really good on the outside. But then when the storms came, it was taken away. Serving God takes hard work sometimes. Serving God is not easy, especially when the circumstances aren't pleasant, especially when other people don't seem to be working as hard, especially when it just seems like other people who say they're Christians really don't give it all they got, and they're just kind of, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, that's okay. Number three, why did the house fall? Number three is, I believe the man in Jesus' second story miscalculated the power of the storm. Miscalculated the power of the storm. You know, sometimes we can think it's no big deal. Life's not going to be that rough. I'm a Christian. But when we get tested, if our faith is not very deep, the storm can sweep us right off our foundation. And that happened to this man. Perhaps he didn't realize how much pressure would come. Sometimes in life we cannot understand how much pressure the enemy can bring against us. And we think, well, it can never really be that big of a deal. I mean, my life is pretty secure. I feel pretty good today. But who knows what can happen. Can be a whole range of things, from financial collapse, health collapse, relationship broken, and many other things. Taking the storm for how strong it is. We might even call it a superficial faith if we want to give a name to it spiritually. The man on the second side of Jesus' illustration could call it superficial faith. Kind of a Christian. Yeah, I believe some things, but we'll see. You know, superficial Christianity, that's kind of to the point that I want to get to before we take community, kind of that feeling, yes, I'm a Christian, I come to church, yeah, I call myself a Christian, but I don't necessarily call myself a Christian very loud. You know what I mean by that? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really going to say it very loud. I mean, if somebody notices and they're offended by that, then I just might kind of back up and I don't need to say anything at all. Or I'll be a Christian when it's easy. When the circumstances fit, but when the pressure comes. I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. How deep is your foundation? These are the kind of people that I see storms devastate spiritually. It's painful. I've seen some really good people, who seem to have lost their faith because the storm came. They had not worked hard enough on their foundation. They took the authority of Jesus for granted. They were a little bit wishy-washy. They were convenient Christians. When the storm came, somehow the foundation went. Sometimes slowly, just move away from God. Where are they today? Pay attention to your foundation. Because the storms will come. This is not Jesus being hard on us. He's not saying this to slap your wrist. He's saying this because it's a reality of life. Choose your foundation. Choose your foundation. We're going to close our service with communion. I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to do it different this time. Normally we bring it to you, but I want us to take some time and invite you to come out the center aisle. There's four places here. If you just come and take the cup and the bread, you can... If you want to be right here at the altar and partake of communion, or you want to take it back to your seat, that's up to you. But I really want each of us for the next 10 minutes or so just to deal with God, us and God. No more, not many more words for me. I want to invite you to come. Would you stand now and just invite you to step out and come and receive communion if you would like to, and pray about your heart and your life.